comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 25 to 18. I will be doing this in English, and Risa will be doing this in Japanese. Did she leave? Okay. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must also be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I cannot read Japanese.
そこでイエスは彼らを呼び寄せて言われた。あなた方も知っている通り、異邦人の支配者たちは彼らを支配し、偉い人たちは彼らの権力を振るいます。あなた方の間ではそうではありません。あなた方の間で偉くなりたいと思うものは皆に仕えるものになりなさい。あなた方の間で人の先に立ちたいと思うものはあなた方のしもべになりなさい。人の子が来たのが仕えられるためではなく、かえって仕えるためであり、また多くの人たちのための償いの代価として自分の命を与えるためであるのと同じです。
How about we all stand up and greet our neighbors? Good morning again. I know at least a couple of you are excited that it's football season. Yeah, all right. I'm so thankful for you, Wayne. Before Wayne, I don't know if there was anyone else who was excited about football. And so all my sermon analogy went just over people's head, and I was preaching to the wind, I guess. But now I have someone to preach to. Just kidding. Today I want to talk about being a servant of Christ. And actually it's essentially about being great in the kingdom, as we just read. Personally, one of the things I love about sports, professional sports, and especially football and basketball, is they have some of the greatest athletes in the world participating in this, in these games. What attracts a lot of people to this is the fame and fortune that comes with football and, say, basketball. Not only is it fun, but if you're great at these things, it promises what seems to be a lot of fame and a lot of fortune. Now, not everyone who becomes a professional athlete, of course, becomes rich because it's such a short-lived career, nor do they become very famous, just because maybe 10% of professional athletes actually become famous. But it's that allure. There's a certain draw to that kind of lifestyle here on earth. Growing up, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. And if you look at me, you probably would have said, "You should try to be something else." But that's what I love to do. And I was very attracted to that fame and fortune. I'm glad that I'm not famous or rich. Maybe the rich part, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not famous. But Jesus says here that greatness is actually the opposite of what this world values. Let me read it again in Matthew 20, 25. He says this, Jesus called them together, his disciples, and he says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so today I want to talk about why serve, how to serve, and what we serve. It's important we know that those three things. Because if someone comes to church, and we, as a member of JCCT, we don't know what we're serving them, it would be like me going into a restaurant and asking the waiter, what do you recommend? And they're like, I don't even know what's on the menu. Would you like to go to a restaurant like that? Nor should somebody want to go to a church like that if they don't know what's on the menu. So we're going to talk about why, how, and what. But before we talk about that, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again for this Sunday, for bringing us together, Lord. And I pray, Jesus, that we could enjoy your presence and enjoy one another. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and you bring your gift of fellowship to us today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We invite you to teach us your ways. That even though your words may seem contradictory to what we've been learning, that your ways would make sense to us. We ask, Father, for your presence, and that you would be glorified, and that we could bring a smile to your face. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Simply, why we serve, Jesus says, it's the way to greatness. In context, the disciples were asking, John and James came and asked, and John and James' mother asked Jesus, "Can my sons sit at your right and your left in your kingdom?" That was a place of privilege, a place of power, a place reserved only for the greatest, right? To sit at the right and left-hand side of the king. And so they asked him. And it's interesting that Jesus doesn't rebuke them for the asking. So just to go on a side trail, you've ever heard somebody say, be careful what you pray for because God just might give it to you? That's a lie. Pray for whatever you want. Because if it's not good, God will teach you. It will be a good teachable moment. So I pray for riches. I pray that God will take care of my debt. And you know what? If it's not for me, I trust God enough to say, hey, this is what you need to do. Amen. You know, it's God would rather have you come to him and ask him a question that's not good or a request that's not good than for you never to go to him. Amen. So, you know, I'm going to say, I break that lie of be careful what you pray for. Pray for whatever you want. If it's not good, allow God to tell you that. He'll teach you. He'll transform your life. Amen. If you just come to him, he'll transform your life. Amen. But Jesus says here, why we serve is the road to greatness in his kingdom. There's a different road to become great in this world. And it's not a road of serving. But in his kingdom that lasts for eternity, it is in service. And in just a moment, I'm going to tell you what serving is. But one, it's becoming more like Jesus. If you notice in verse 28, he says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life for a ransom for many. Just as the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. Again, just, I really want to tell a joke, but I think one person might get the joke, so I'm not going to tell it. Should I tell it? You want me to tell it anyways?
Yes.
All right, fine, okay. If no one laughs, man, my confidence is going to go down, and this is going to be a really bad sermon. But since you want me to, well, yesterday I was on Facebook, and I already lost half of you there. Anyways, I was on the computer, and I was, you know, getting ready for the sermon. And it says, there was a picture of Jesus breakdancing. And it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. All right, Alberto got it. All right. Okay. One person got it. He didn't come to be served. In the hip-hop culture, to be served, you got served, you know. Anyways. All right, this roll right here. Amen. So my confidence didn't plummet, but it's not good right now. Anyway, Jesus says he did not come to be served, but to serve. Isn't that kind of, you know, some people think, oh, God created people so that people could serve him. But it's the complete opposite. God says, I came to serve you. Jesus came to serve us. And I'm going to show you what it means, but just take a look at our day today. Who rose the sun? God did. Who was it for? It was for us. But Jesus came to serve, and in his life, he didn't just say it, his life really displayed it. He taught for free. And, you know, I go to a lot of conferences, and Christian conferences, and I really like going to Christian conferences. I've never been to a really good one that was free. Well, actually, I might have gone to a couple of them. But usually the really good ones, they cost money, right? And it's just like that. But Jesus, who was the greatest teacher of all time, went and freely taught, serving people. He went around healing people for free. You know, I don't know about you. Your body might ache and pain, and maybe some of you don't have insurance. You just have to come on, right? You just have to. The doctor bills are so expensive. It's ridiculous. It's, you know, be in debt or feel a little better. Sometimes they don't even heal you. But Jesus, he healed for free. Signs and wonder for free. He fed people for free. He came to really serve. And the road to greatness and is serving. And Jesus didn't say it. He went and did it, and he delighted. He loved doing it. In his last and greatest example, washing the disciples' feet and then dying for our sins. Free of charge. Serving us. And I'm here to say that is the road to greatness, and we were created to do the same thing. Because we, each of us, were created in the image of Christ. In the image of God. In the beginning, God created man and women in his image. And it's a fallen image. And because it's fallen, some of the things the Bible teaches are really against what we've been taught going to school. It's really against what we desire. Because I don't know if any of you desire to be a servant. I don't. be served than to serve, right? Is that just selfish me or? Okay, yeah, it's just me, I guess. Okay, preaching to myself again. Anyways, but there is fulfillment when we do what we're created to do. And there's so much frustration when what is created isn't doing what it's supposed to do. Amen? Like this mic, if you're new here, sometimes it goes out. Is it going out? Man, it's working. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. Anyway, this mic, it just, sometimes it goes in and out, in and out, in and out. And I'm so frustrated. Because it's messing with the Word of God. But you know, it goes in and out and it's frustrating. And for us, in our own lives, if we're going in and out of God's Word, guess what? Your life will be very frustrating. It'll be filled with a lot of frustration. In the opposite, if you're doing the will of God, being a servant of Christ, there's so much fulfillment in that. There is. I mean, we could ask for riches, and God could bless us with riches and get out of the will of God, and guess what? With all that money, you're just going to be miserably rich. You're just going to be miserable and rich. And some of you will say, well, I'd rather be rich and miserable than poor and miserable. Guess what? That's false. If you're poor and miserable, it's better. You know why? Because at least you'll have hope that if you get rich, you'll be happy, even though that's a fake hope. If you're rich and miserable, there's nowhere else to go. There's a lot of millionaires that just, you know, they're, anyways. So why we serve is what we were created for. It's the road to greatness. And that's Jesus was the perfect example, and we're just trying to become more like Christ if we're Christians. And how to serve, I want to talk about how to serve. It says, let me tell you what it's not. It's not doing whatever people tell you to do. You know, some people might take this out of context and say, being a servant of all is doing whatever people tell you to do. Now, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. It's not always doing what people tell you to do, because that's not what Jesus did. Instead, in fact, Jesus says, just as the Son of Man came to serve. And so Jesus is the perfect example. And Jesus didn't do whatever people told him to do. In fact, people said, you know, don't heal on the Sabbath. Guess what? Jesus didn't listen. People said, don't say you're the Son of Man. Jesus didn't listen. What Jesus did is in John 5:19. He said this, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. He says, what I see God do, I do. In John 12:49, he says, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Again, he sees and he hears what the Father is doing, and he does and he speaks what he sees and hears. Does that make sense? So being a servant of all, just like Christ was a servant of all, isn't doing whatever people tell you to do. But it is being a servant of God. And being a servant of God is like being like a waitress or a waiter in His kingdom. What does a good waiter or waitress do? They serve, right? And a good waitress or a waiter, they wait and they watch. And when they know you need something, they'll go and ask you, are you ready? Or do you need more water? When the food's ready, they're waiting and watching, and they'll get the food instead of talking to their other friends, right? So that the food comes right away. A waiter or a waitress, a good one, they won't go. They don't make the food, right? They don't look at the food and say, oh, it needs a little more. And then give it. And so it's important that we, like a waiter or a server, wait and watch. Do you do that? Let me tell you, I don't do it all the time. In fact, I rarely do it. But Jesus did it all the time. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. And the words I say are the words my Father gave me. To become a servant like Jesus, it takes a lot of waiting and watching. Just some tips. Serve with a smile. Don't serve and complain. That's the worst thing to do. Or in Japanese we call it munkuing. Don't serve and munku. Serve with a smile. Have you ever gone? Man, this is like my therapy session where I get to complain. where I get to munku. Anyway, have you ever been to, I'm not going to say a specific store, but it's a really big store, and it's a cheap store, that's why I go to it. But have you ever gone there and check out, and they don't even say hi to you, or smile, they just take your thing, and they tell you, sometimes they don't even tell you the price, it's like, look, it's right there, right? yeah, if you're going to serve the Lord, don't be like that, serve with a smile. Be grateful, thankful. Amen? And more importantly, serve through love. What I mean is a pure heart and good motives. And if you need more information on love, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love. Serve through love. And I'm going to tell you why it's important. Because what we're serving is amazing. What we're serving can actually get us in trouble. In the sense that the people that receive what we serve will say, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And as a waiter, just someone who takes the food and brings it to the customer, we might have the seduction of thinking, oh, I'm amazing. And that's ridiculous, right? You didn't do nothing. You just took it and you didn't make it. And so I'm going to tell you what we're serving. But when we serve something that amazing, and they say, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And you're like, yep, it was about that. It's all about that. They're gonna say, wow, that was amazing. And if we're not careful, and if we're not serving through love, it's going to be like, of course, I'm amazing. Instead of saying, would you like to meet the chef? Would you like to meet the person that made this? We'll take the credit for it instead of giving glory to God. That's what I mean. And so, let me talk a little bit on what we serve. And then I'm going to launch into a series the next couple of weeks about what we're serving. So, what's on the menu? If a guest comes in, do we know what we're serving them? Do we know what's on the menu? Do we know what to recommend? Let's look at a couple passages. And so forth. And for those of us who don't believe, what I'm going to say is, it's doing what Jesus did. In John 20:21, Jesus says, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, and I'm going to add this, to serve, I am sending you to serve. Just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. That's what Jesus said. And so we're serving just like Jesus served. And Paul, he begins to list out a couple of things that the church is called to serve. Let's look at Romans 12:3, 33-8. Paul begins to teach on series of spiritual gifts, and he doesn't really get into details about it. I'm sure the first century church, the first church, they knew more about these than we do, but I'm going to begin to teach about what I believe these lists are. And this is not an exhaustive list, meaning it doesn't list all the gifts of the Spirit, but it's a good beginning. In Romans chapter 12, 3-8, he says this: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each, yes, even you, belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And he begins to list these. Take mental notes. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraged, give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so he lists a couple of gifts there, right? A simple teaching. Some of us are gifted in these areas, and none of us are gifted in all of them. But they can overlap. It's important that we know where we're gifted in. And because we have the Holy Spirit, we can operate in all of these gifts at one point of our time. But it doesn't necessarily mean we're actually gifted in it. Hopefully you got that. Anyways, in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11, he said he gives another list. And again, I'm just flying through these just to give you sort of, this is what's on the menu kind of thing. And as we go through the series, we're going to know more details about what's on the menu. So far it's like ribeye, steak, New York, porterhouse, and then you'll get to taste it later. Filet mignon. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11, it says this: "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one," here's the list, "there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of the tongues. All these are the works of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So again, what's on the menu? Prophesying, healing, powers, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, etc., etc., etc. And again, it said, it's very clear, right? The Spirit says, he gives it. So what do? We serve it. He makes it, we serve it. That's it. He's the chef, we're the server. It's not the other way around. Don't go and put seasoning on things. You're not supposed to. Don't touch what he makes. Just give it the way it is. I'm going to give you one more list in Ephesians 4:7-13. This is Paul again. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself, again, here's the list. He gave him, Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And verse 12 is very important. The reason is to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I'm not going to talk about the arguments between the gift has ceased and the gift is still operating. You obviously know where my stance is. And my the reason why I believe the gifts are still operating, not only have I experienced it, but Scripture says it's given to the body that it may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And personally, I feel that the gifts are here to bring that purpose. Yeah. And until that is fulfilled, it is absolutely necessary. Yeah. That's just my stance. So I gave you a list, a menu. This is what we serve at this church. This is what we serve at every church. And this is what the Holy Spirit is making for his customers. Now, if you go to a restaurant, a new restaurant, many of you will wonder, well, what's good on the menu, right? Well, it's all good. I'm going to tell you, everything on this menu is good. But there is actually a chef's recommendation on this list. A susumen, or susumen, right? Yeah, if you go to Japan, I'm going to talk to my non-Japanese brothers and sisters for a moment, if that's okay. If you go to a Japanese restaurant, ask what osusume wa nan desu ka? Write that down. No, just kidding. Osusume wa nan desu ka? That just means, what do you recommend? Good, amen. That's the gift of tongues right there. Give you. Osusume wa nan desu ka? And the Bible tells us there is one that is recommended. Turn with me real quick, just so you believe me. Just so I'm not making this up. In 14:1, it says this. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Again, it's so important that we operate everything out of love. Amen? Amen. Pure motives, a good heart, with a smile, as Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He did what he saw the Father doing. He spoke what he heard the Father say. Paul gives us the list of some of the gifts in chapter 12. In chapter 13, he teaches us that we need to operate in these gifts in love. Chapter 14, he will give us his recommendation. It says, follow the way of love. And this is biblical, scriptural. This is something we should follow. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Let me stop there for a moment. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. What does that mean? That means actively pursue it. That means go out and get it. That doesn't mean, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Some of us have that kind of attitude, right? Well, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Scripture is very clear. He says, go out and get it if you want it. And you better want it. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially, and this is the osusume, especially the gift of prophecy. That's his recommendation. When a non-believer comes in, a new believer comes in, it's so important that we serve what's best on the menu. What is this church all about? Well, let me show you. Now, you may be wondering, okay, what's prophecy? Here's a simple definition of what it is to prophesy in the New Testament. It says, and he's going to tell you, for those who speak in a tongue, that's another spiritual gift, do not speak to other people but to God. And that's what the gift of tongue is speaking to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So he kind of gives us a picture of what the gift of tongue is, right? It's speaking to God. But those who prophesy, and now this is the Osusumet, but those who prophesy speak to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. That's what prophecy is. It strengthens and encourages and comforts. Strengthens, encourage, and comfort. That's what prophecy is. And what prophecy is hearing what the Father is saying to a specific person, place, region, but hearing what the Father is saying and speaking in it to the congregation. It's hearing what the Father is saying and speaking it. That's it. That's the dish. Don't put your own seasoning on it. It's going to mess it up. Hear what the Father says and speak it. Does anyone want to try this dish? Just one. Okay, two, three. Okay. Anyone else? Please. Seriously. Okay, all right. There's a couple of you. Okay, good. Man. It is really good. Let me tell you, the Bible says it's good. It has to be good, amen? Yes. And none of you guys want to try it. Man.
It's tasty.
So, I want to tell you, this past weekend, I went to this restaurant, and I got ribeye. Ribeye is my favorite cut of steak. Amazing. I I've been to Ruth Chris, I've been to Bob's, you guys have been to Bob's? There's a Bob's here in Tucson that serves steak. I think this ribeye was better than those. And I think it was less expensive too. It was really good. Any of you guys want that ribeye?
Yes.
Okay. Well, guess what? This prophecy is a lot better than that ribeye. Okay? So, for those of you who wants what it is to be prophesied over, after service, would you please come up? Mandy brought some of her friends with her, and they've actually been trained in doing this. And so, listen, I know you, most of you, some of you. I know you more than they know you, right? Amen? I'm not lying. I know you better than they know you. And I didn't go around telling them your stuff, okay? And so, if they speak something over you that is incredibly accurate, guess what? It's not because they're amazing. I'm just kidding. It's not because they're just serving. They're just giving you what the Father gave them to give to you. And so for those of you who would really want to taste this, please come, please come. I don't want just one person coming. That's going to make them extremely sad, and you don't want to do that, right? Deborah is very sensitive, and she will cry.
She's already crying again.
Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to read your mail in front of everyone. But I do encourage you to come and receive and understand experientially what this gift is.
Yes.
Being a servant of Christ, we all need to grow in this area for the church to fulfill its purposes, to learn how to serve, to know what we're gifted in, to eagerly desire these things, and to give it, to learn how to serve. And hopefully through this series, we'll become more equipped, better, have more understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, and I do ask, Father, right now that you would just bring forth the spirit of prophecy. That, Father, that you would begin to speak to us individually through your servants. And it's not because we're great, but it's because you're great, God. You're the greatest chef of all time. You are the greatest, Lord. And we just want to taste and see that you are good.
Yes.
So today I pray, Father, that you would minister, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Again, I just thank you for this time, and we lift it up in Jesus' name. And so what we'll do the closing song. I'll give a benediction. And do we have any pressing announcements? We have a couple. And the announcements are on your bulletin. I don't think there's anything too important, right? We just have a couple of new people, but let's just pass on that today, and we'll have our closing benediction, and please come and receive what the Lord has for you.